Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Game, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jim Donovan's here, too, because he's a lot of fun. He's an old friend of ours, an original member of our Brain Trust. He's an outstanding, inspirational person. He speaks to people. He trains people. He writes to them about things that get them motivated. And I've been telling you about his books for a long time, like This Is Your Life, Now to Dress Rehearsal, and like Reclaim Your Life, and like this new book, which is actually an extension of something he's been working on for a long time, Handbook to a Happier Life, a simple guide to creating the life you've always wanted. Jim Donovan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back, as always. And one of the things I think you've got on your mind today is whether it's a good time right now to actually start a new business. What do you think?
Well, that's an interesting question. I started my first company in 1974, and people said this is the worst time you could possibly start a business. And if you started one yesterday, somebody would have said this is the worst time you could possibly start a business. So there's never a good time. It's never perfect. Nothing's ever going to be perfect. But I think it's important from where I sit, having been doing this game a long time, it's important to have something. I don't care if you have the best corporate job in the world. If you don't have business, if you don't have something on the side, you don't have the security that you think you have.
Job security.
Evidenced by reading the newspapers last week, Carrier Corporation laid off a couple of thousand people up in Syracuse, and Merck announced around here they laid off 4,400, and Sony just dropped 20,000. They're going to drop 20,000 worldwide, et cetera, et cetera. And it's been going on, and always has and always will.
Well, Jim, it's been going on now. The truth is, for most of the 20th century, the major corporations, you know, employed people like crazy, and we got to the point where that's where we thought we should all be working, and small business owners were kind of backwater mom-and-pop organizations. But now the two things that have changed all that, number one, the first is technology. Technology's changed all that for independence. But the other thing is the job security myth has officially been exposed now, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think there is no such thing as job security.
Maybe it's just the pendulum coming back the other way. This country is built on small businesses.
The marketplace, Jim. I mean, think about it. The major corporations are in the 10,000 year history of the marketplace, maybe more. The major corporation is an anomaly, isn't it? It's an aberration almost.
Sure. Not only that, if you add to that something that's been happening over the last several years. Bigger companies are looking around and saying, okay, what can we outsource? If this is not our core business, let's get rid of it. Well, we'll vendor somebody in to do it.
We're becoming partners, real
exactly.
Integral partners with big business. This is happening all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's really important. I just finished a new book that just came out in Japan, as a matter of fact, and there's a whole chapter on that.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of starting a business, even as a sideline, whether it's network marketing or part-time something or consulting or something going on, so that if you walk into work this morning, you have the best job in the world, you love it, you walk in, the company says, we'll shut the doors tomorrow, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You go into free fall. If you have something on the side, at least you have this psychological security that says, well, I can always roll over here and just do more of this, or I can do this to get by for a while.
Now, what should that something on the side be, Jim? What should it be? I don't mean you know, shoes or jewelry. I mean, in terms of your life, what should it be?
That's a good question. I like that question. I would personally start looking around saying, all right, what do I really care about? What am I passionate about? What gets me going? What's going to make me jump out of bed in the morning and say, wow, I can't wait to do this? As I mentioned before, during commercial, one of the new programs I'm working on is, and I'd like to plug this, is high school and college students. And I feel so passionate about that. I feel it's so important that I get out there and start talking to the young people that we're losing. These kids are falling through the cracks. So that having that kind of a passion is going to get me out the door in the morning. It's going to get me out of bed in the morning. So you really want to start from there and say, what do I care? What matters to me?
You know,
don't just
Jim,
start a business because somebody made some money at it.
You know, Jim, I know so many stories, and I know you do too, of major corporations today that started as a sideline. I mean, the person, let me give you a classic example, is 1-800-Flowers. Jim McCann.
Yeah.
Jim McCann was a counselor in New York City working for the city or the state, and he bought a little florist shop, and he operated that. People don't realize this. He operated that florist shop in New York for 10 years as a little part-time sideline business.
Really?
10 years. And finally he said, you know what? I love this more than anything else. I'm gonna grow this.
Uh-huh. And you can do that. There was a great story in Money Magazine I happened to read on a train to New York the other day, being you mentioned New York. It was a woman who was an actress. I don't know her name. I don't remember her name. She was riding back and forth every day on a subway like the rest of the 8 million people in New York, never paying much attention to anything. And one day she started noticing logos. Each train in New York City has its own little kind of identity. It's a big red circle with the number of the train in it. It's kind of cool-looking artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Make a long story short, according to Money Magazine, she's billing $650,000 a year right now. She developed a line of clothes. She's just really getting off the ground. She just kind of got out of the red, and now it's moving. It's at Macy's and in some of the bigger stores. She's got this whole line called New York City Subway Clothing.
Hmm.
She went down to the subway office, and she made a deal, and she licensed the right to use the artwork and all that stuff. But here's, you know, the simplest idea. How many people, myself included, have ridden the subways day in and day out and never came up with that?
Mm-hmm.
You just find something that interests you or something you're passionate about, or, you know, and you can combine things. You can say, all right, I'm really passionate about this. Where is the need? And put two ideas together.
Mm-hmm.
What used to bother me is people would come up at a seminar and they'd say, okay, I want to go into my own business. What can I do that'll make a lot of money? I'd say, no, you got the question backwards. Now, what do you want to do? Because if you start chasing the money, and I've made this mistake, you generally don't get anywhere. But you get somewhere and you wish you hadn't.
If you're going into business to make money, you're going to be, it's not, Jim and I aren't saying that you won't make money or that you can't make money or that it's not important. We're saying that, I'm saying, and I don't know about you, Jim, but I'm saying, but if that's your motivation, your sole motivation is to make money, you're probably going to be an unhappy owner even if you are successful financially.
Yeah, exactly. I had a client, two guys got together, they were drug counselors, and they wanted to help people.
Hey, Jim,
hold on
to that thought. That's a good story, and I want you to tell it to us right after these messages. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Jim Donovan, the author of Handbook to a Happier Life. 20 after. Stay with us. Much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Jim Donovan is our guest. He's the author of A Handbook to a Happier Life. Jim, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's jimdonovan.com, JIMDONOVAN.com.
And tell us how we can get your outstanding newsletter, Jim's Gems.
Well, just go to my website, put in your email address, hit submit, and you're all set.
All right.
And I never sell or share email addresses. I've been doing this list since 1991.
Jim's like me. We protect you. When you give us your information, we protect it. We don't give it to anybody or sell it to anybody or rent it to anybody. And when you want it back, we give it back to you. Right, Jim?
Exactly. It's an easy subscribe and unsubscribe. So.
You were going to tell us a story. You had a little story you had.
It's a great example of just setting out to do something you're passionate about and to do some good. I had a client a number of years ago, two guys who were drug counselors, and they left where they were working. They started a company wanting to help people that needed to get into treatment facilities and couldn't. And to make a long story short, I mean, I'm proud to say and pleased to say I was part of them building that company, but they went from, like, literally two guys with a rented telephone over a course of a couple of years. Last time I left there, they were taking down $1 million a year salary each.
Wow.
They did okay. They didn't start out saying, how do we get rich? They started out saying, there's a lot of people that need help. How can we help them?
Mm-hmm.
They started middlemanning between the addict and the hospital.
One of the things I found, Jim, is that if you go with this with an attitude of something that you think is beneficial, it's what you want to do, you believe you're filling a niche, you believe you're providing a service, and you go at it with that attitude, the money, if the money is secondary and the service and the contribution is primary, you have a much greater chance of getting to the secondary goal.
Sure, it generally follows.
Yeah.
A lot of times somebody starts a business, it's just they look around and say, okay, here's a need. Maybe one of the great stories, the guy that's in my new book is the guy that started Mailbox Etc. He was in line at the post office, and he said, there must be a better way.
Got to be a better way.
He said, why can't I get somebody to wrap the packages for me and take care of it?
Right.
He looked around, there was nobody doing that, and he started that, and they have some 6,500 locations now. UPS bought them.
I was going to say that he's got a nice little chunk of change from UPS right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Again, I was just looking around, just saw a need that wasn't being filled.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of it comes. A lot of it comes. A lot of small business comes out of frustration.
The 20th century, Jim, as my audience has heard me say, was the century of the corporation, the major corporation. The 21st century is the century of the entrepreneur. It's all about, this century is all about self-determination. Even if you have a regular job, even if you are an employee,
sure,
more and more of you are going to be having something of your own to either a small business or, you know, even if not a business, Jim, more and more of us, as we go through this century, more and more of us are going to be responsible for our own lives. We're going to be responsible for our own health care. We're going to be more and more responsible for our own retirement. We're going to be less dependent upon big government and big corporation.
Well, we're shifting from an industrial-based society to an information-based society.
Right.
We don't need these big factories. I mean, the biggest product, if you will, in this country now is intellectual property. Well, that lives between my ears.
That's right.
I don't need a factory for that.
You know, Jim, talking about that, I recently, a couple of months ago, I was in Washington, D.C., talking to people who are in that technology end of the technology industry, the intellectual property side. And what we learned was that 20 years ago, the assets of a corporation were comprised of about 70% hard assets and about 30% intellectual property. In the 21st century, as of right now, that number is pretty much reversed. About 30% hard assets and about 70% intellectual property.
The richest person in the world, as everyone knows, is Bill Gates.
Yeah.
What does Bill Gates' company really produce?
He has very little inventory. He has very little inventory, doesn't he?
Yeah, they don't produce physical product. They produce bits and bytes.
They deliver it in a physical product.
Oh,
sometimes.
Yeah, it winds up on a CD.
But that's just the delivery vehicle, isn't it?
You don't even need that anymore. You buy it, you just download it and pay for it online.
Exactly.
Eliminated that whole thing. We're eliminating that with the music industry. 60 Minutes had a thing last night about how the movie industry is moving toward download. They're all panicked about that.
Yeah.
Big piracy thing going on, but that'll solve itself.
But the thing is the world is changing significantly. What's happening, Jim, is it's not happening. It's not so much that change is different, but the velocity of the change is different, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Well, it's happening real fast. What used to take generation to change, and someone talks about that. Paul St. Pilsner talks about that. It used to take 25 years or a generation to change is now changing within five, maybe one or two.
Right.
He wrote that 10 years ago, so that's changed by now. And you have to look at that. And things that you think are stable, it's stable today. It may not be stable next week. I remember the day that my wife was in a music store and said, there's no way they can do away with vinyl albums. Too many people have turntables. And I had to walk over to a guy who was at a Sam Goody's, and I said, I noticed you don't have a lot of albums anymore. He said, no, we're doing away with them completely. That's what I knew. This game changed.
That's right. Hey, Jim.
That was the belief.
Give us your website one more time. We've got to wrap it up.
Sure. JimDonovan.com. JimDonovan.com. Same thing with VCRs. Watch them disappear.
Yeah. Handbook to a Happier Life. Available wherever books are sold, especially on Amazon. Donovan. Thanks, Jim. Good job today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
See you next time.
Take care.
Quick break. I'll be right back with Joe Condrell. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.